Thank you, God, for giving me a vision that I am a warrior. I am a soldier in your army. Your word is my sword. I kneel before you to listen to my marching orders and to obey. I'm suited up with armor that you provide. You are my king. Each battle I face belongs to you. The war is won. Your spirit surrounds me and is within me. I will not fear. Bowing here before you, I find my rest. Wherever you are, I am free. You are my one defense. You are my righteousness. God, I love you and I praise you. And I thank you for who you are, for what you say about me, and for what you say about my circumstance. In your word, in your truth, I find freedom and rest. Hey there, I'm Victoria, a certified Christian life coach, author, motivational speaker, and university educator, and I am obsessed with helping you navigate through life's ups and downs so that you can live day by day in God's peace despite the many external demands on your time and energy. The Choose to Think Inspirational podcast is about the delicate dance between God transforming you from the inside out and your personal responsibility for change, maturity, and refinement as a Christ follower. On the show, I'll help you connect the dots between your faith and your life in practical, meaningful ways while giving God room to do what only He can do, and so that you can shine your light for Christ and be better equipped to serve your family and help others around you. You can change every area of your life, one thought at a time. Welcome back to the Choose to Think Inspirational podcast, Brain Changer. Let's dive in. On tap today is Psalm 48. It's a part of the book of Psalms in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's often attributed to the sons of Korah and is classified as a song of Zion, celebrating the glory and strength of God's city, and you can name it, right? Jerusalem. This psalm is kind of divided into four sections: praise for Jerusalem, God's protection of this holy city, a reflection of God's faithfulness, and an encouragement to reflect on God's works. Overall, this psalm serves as a hymn of praise and thanksgiving for the special status of Jerusalem as the city of God and a symbol of His protection and presence. It highlights God's faithfulness, His strength, and sovereignty over His people and the city that He's chosen. I thought to myself as I was reading that particular psalm, how do you and I, as modern-day Christians, take these biblical truths, these descriptions, this history, and apply all of these things to our lives? I've got three ideas that I will share with you. But first, let's let the words of this psalm roll over our ears and our hearts. And be sure to stay tuned, because right after I read this, I'm going to share with you a few personal stories as we unpack the lessons that we can glean from Psalm 48. Plus, I have a special gift for you. Stay tuned. Psalm 48, the NIV version. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise in the city of our God, His holy mountain. Beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Like the heights of Zaphon is Mount Zion, the city of the great King. God is in her citadels. He has shown Himself to be her fortress. When the kings joined forces, when they advanced together, they saw her and were astounded. They fled in terror. Trembling seized them there, pain like that of a woman in labor. You destroyed them like ships of Tarshish, shattered by an east wind. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord Almighty, in the city of our God. God makes her secure forever. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion. Go around her. Count her towers. Consider well her ramparts. View her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. And this is the word of the Lord. In a nutshell, three lessons we can extrapolate from Psalm 48 are: one, God is present in your life; two, you can trust in his sovereignty and faithfulness; and three, you can reflect on his mighty works and express your gratitude toward him. First, do you recognize God's presence in your life? Just as Jerusalem was considered the city of God's presence in ancient times, you can reflect on the presence of God in your life. You can take comfort in the assurance that God is with you in every circumstance. He's Emmanuel, right? Offering protection, guidance, and strength. This awareness can bring a sense of peace and security, even in the midst of challenges or uncertainties. Well, let me tell you about the recent 7-day challenge that I offered called Be Still and Know God. And thank you if you participated. But I'm just loving these challenges, in part because there's been solid interest in the topics, and also because I need the accountability myself. In this particular challenge, there were 17 women ready to stop striving and to know God. We wanted to listen to God's voice. Each day involved a personal commitment from each of us to seek God afresh and to set our timers to listen to God, to allow him to speak into our lives, to be quiet and still before him. Well, I had a particularly difficult morning for a couple of reasons. One was a relationship issue I was having, and the other dealt with a pickleball passion, you know, that 21-day devotional that was just published. Well, suddenly Amazon stopped printing the book due to a barcode issue. And it happened to stop last Thursday, which was the very day I interviewed pro player Scott Moore in an effort to promote the book. Did you tune into that episode? It's one of my favorites. I just loved his wisdom and how he talks so much about God. He's a Christ follower and an amazing pickleball player. It was a nice junction of the two of those. But suffice it to say that although my morning time was very sweet with the Lord that morning, my heart flipped upside down shortly after when I started checking my texts and reading all my emails. In other words, starting my day, right? But let me tell you what the Lord did for me. I shared this with the challenge group because it was such a vivid moment of when I recognized God's presence in my life. He was protecting me. He was guiding me. And indeed, he was strengthening my heart. So this is actually what I shared with the group, and I'm going to quote here. I told them this: I cannot begin to express how grateful I feel toward the Lord for giving me picture images of my journey with him. Over the years and in overcoming severe depression, with God's help back in 2016, I literally have a stack of printed images that serve as reminders of God's love for me and how he guides me in life. One image is a diamond. As I was praying once at the Iron Bell in Louisville, and that's a little sanctuary type worship center there, I felt alone and scared and sad. I was crying and pouring out my soul to the Lord by journaling and being still before him in reflection. Soft music was playing in the background, and I was journaling. And during that time of worship and quiet reflection, I felt like the Lord whispered to me that he loved me the diamondest. That's a word I'm creating now. The diamondest. You know, he gave me a superlative of his love for me. I hesitate to say that the Lord whispered to me because I didn't really hear anything per se, but for whatever reason, this thought came into my mind and I felt a rush of his love for me. It overwhelmed my heart. It was so sweet. Sometimes I don't exactly feel lovable, but in that moment, love surrounded me and penetrated every fiber of my being. Of course, I came home and printed an image of a diamond to remind me of that experience. And recently, and I think because I was being still in this challenge, being still enough to listen, God downloaded another image into my mind to add to this stack of images. I was overwhelmed with gratitude because I knew that imprinting on my brain visually would make it easier for me to remember the message of God's truth. It's an image of a warrior woman on her knees, bowing down to her king, sword in hand. I won't go into the details, but needless to say, I felt encouraged and supported, and I found strength through my king to carry on. So, Brain Changer, are you sensing God's presence in your life these days? Do you find comfort knowing that He is leading you every step of the way? If not, perhaps you can pause for a moment, be still before Him, bow to your knees in prayer and praise, and then quietly listen to what He might be telling you. Recognizing God's presence is like gazing up at the stars in the night sky. Despite the darkness that surrounds you, the stars shine brightly, illuminating the heavens with their celestial beauty. God's presence shines forth in the midst of life's challenges and uncertainties, guiding you with His light and offering hope in the darkest of times. And that takes us to the second lesson we can glean from Psalm 48. Are you ready to embark on a transformative journey? Get your copy of the Choose to Think 365-Day Devotional by yours truly. It's a powerful guide to renewing your mind and living your best thought life, featuring scripture-centered devotionals endorsed by Christian songwriter Jenny Owens and applauded by Sherry White of the Messy Christian blog, who says, "This is a game changer for our Christian walk." Dive into 5-minute daily segments covering faith, purpose, relationships, emotional health, and physical wellness, but that's not all. Complete your journey with the Choose to Think Companion Journal. Document your reflections, share with a partner or group, and celebrate every thought-by-thought transformation that you enjoy. This is your chance to supercharge your brain and start living your best thought life today. Click the link in the show notes to peek inside and order your devotional and companion journal now. This combo makes a wonderful gift for you to do with your loved ones, or in a group of friends, or in your small group. Your transformation begins with a single thought. Isn't it time you choose to think? Get your copy today. Lesson number 2 is trusting in God's sovereignty and faithfulness. Psalm 48 emphasizes God's sovereignty and faithfulness in protecting His people and establishing His city, Jerusalem. You can apply this particular lesson by placing your trust in God's plans and timing, knowing that He is faithful to fulfill His promises, just as the psalmist wrote. You can find reassurance in the knowledge that God is in control, even when circumstances like all those armies may seem overwhelming or uncertain. Maybe life feels like it's coming hard against you. And sometimes it's difficult to trust God's plans and His timing in your life. Do you feel that way too? I find it especially difficult at times. My husband Jim and I are hoping to take a trip to Spain this summer, but it looks like it may cost a considerable amount more than we had actually budgeted. So we're in a bit of a tailspin on this. We've got our plane tickets ready to book. Actually, we even tried to book them already, but hit a quick roadblock with travel points we have on this particular credit card and that we were trying to use. And so that process stopped dead in its tracks. And I'm not sure how you quote trust in God's sovereignty and faithfulness, but several times along the way, I said, "Jim, let's pray." Even just a few moments ago, we prayed for God's plans to manifest for our summer vacation and for His perfect timing to come into play. We've considered postponing the trip, taking a different trip, not going anywhere this summer, doing some staycations and investing that money in our home even. But we reminded ourselves that God really is in control, even when suddenly we have become a bit overwhelmed with planning our summer vacation. And that's something kind of simple. I know this is a small thing in so many ways, but what areas or with what issues are you intentionally trusting God's sovereignty and faithfulness? Does trusting God come easy for you? Does trusting His timing come easily for you? Are you kind of hard pressed in this area? Maybe you struggle with the fear of the unknown, especially when you're faced with uncertain circumstances or outcomes when it comes to your future, your career, your relationships, your health. You may even question whether God truly has your best interest at heart. Perhaps you're doubting His timing. Have you ever felt impatient or discouraged when your prayers seem to go unanswered or when you're forced to wait for God's intervention or guidance? Maybe you question whether God can truly work through your own imperfections, or if you're even deserving of His love and grace. Boy, I've opened all kind of cans of worms with these questions, haven't I? The point is, what helps you the most to fully surrender your worries, your fears, your uncertainties, not knowing, do I go left, do I go right, do I take this trip, do I not? What helps you the most to settle this out? How do you trust God in all of this and these practical things that you're dealing with in your life? For me, in a nutshell, it's prayer. It's reminding myself of who God is and who he says I am and what he says about my scenario. In the grand scheme of things, what is a pickleball devotional to God? What is a trip to Spain to God? What is a health issue to God? What is a job issue to God? What is any relationship issue to our Heavenly Father? Instead of focusing on your fears and anxieties, the looming uncertainties, can you redirect your thoughts to God's truths? And that's where we're actually going to flex those trust muscles the most when we do that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we should take every thought captive and bring it under submission to Christ. Romans 12:2 says that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It is this discipline of choosing to think that the dust of any situation tends to settle out. Trusting God is like riding on a roller coaster with twists and turns and unexpected drops. Just as thrill seekers buckle up and hold on tight as they soar through exhilarating loops and dips, trusting God requires embracing the adventure of faith in this life and surrendering to his divine plan. Despite the ups and downs of life, you can trust that God is in control of the ride, guiding you through every twist and turn with his love and his providence. I've spent a lot of time in my life attempting to surrender control of my life, really, and saying, God, it's yours. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to back up against whatever you say about everything. And even when things seem unclear, even when I don't know what to do, I'm just going to be still, listen, and wait. I'm going to wait for God to open doors. I'm going to wait for him to close doors. And sometimes I'm going to just stick my foot in the water, right? You ever thought of that? You just go ahead and stick your foot in the water. And then if God wants to shut it, he will. If he wants to redirect, he will. And sometimes day by day, that's how I actually go about my life. I just stick my foot in the water. But first, I've committed my life to him. I've given him my day. I've surrendered my plans. I know that he may bring a gazillion divine interruptions to my day. But no matter, I'm going to be that warrior woman. I'm going to be a soldier in God's army. His word is my sword. I'm going to kneel before God to listen to my marching orders and to obey them. I'm going to suit myself up with the armor that God provides. He is my king. Each battle belongs to God. The war is won. His spirit surrounds me and is within me. I will not fear. When I bow before him, I will find my rest. Where he is, I am free. He is my defense. That's how I'm going to trust God every single moment of every single day. And there's one more lesson we can take from Psalm 48. It's to reflect on God's works and to express gratitude. Psalm 48 encourages reflection on God's work and steadfast love. You can incorporate this by regularly reflecting on God's blessings in your life and expressing gratitude for his faithfulness. Cultivating a spirit of thankfulness can help you maintain a positive outlook and deepen your relationship with God, even during challenging times. This might be one of my favorite lessons from this psalm because I'm in a good habit already of doing these things daily. I really do try every day to thank God. I try to spin every situation into one where I can thank God and praise him. The pickleball devotional, Lord, I'm so grateful that you've given me the gift of writing. And I love to write. I love to even, you know, I'm scripting these things every week for the podcast, these episode show notes and all that stuff that I'm doing. It's a passion that I have. God allows me to write in several different avenues to express my great adoration and love for him. So even that I wrote a pickleball devotional, I can say, okay, Lord, I'm just exercising my gift for you and I'm grateful that you've given me the gift. Yes, it's on hold right now for printing. Yes, that is a struggle and a trial and a hardship. However, I'm going to just trust you and back up in the fact that your timing is always right. And this isn't going to get me down. I'm not going to let this just put a dark cloud over my whole existence, not knowing where to go to travel. Can you even imagine the blessing of the fact that Jim and I get to travel, that we are able to take a vacation, that we get to see new parts of the world, meet new people, and just enjoy God's creation? What a blessing is that? It almost doesn't matter where we go, right? Because we have God with us and we have the ability and the blessing of even being able to go in the first place. So not knowing whether to go to Spain or not is such a good problem to have, right? Do you see how gratitude can shift all of that and can cause our focus to, you know, be in a different way? Maybe you have a sick child. Can you thank God that you have a child? And I don't say that in any kind of crass way. It's just a way that we can shift our focus. Maybe you lost your husband. Can you be grateful for the fact that you did marry and have a husband? That you did enjoy that relationship. Some women in this world never get to do that, period. So even though you experience great hardship and loss, you can still be grateful for the fact that God blessed you with that relationship in the first place. And then things settle in your heart, right? Here's what some people had to say about gratitude. I'm going to read you about five quotes that are really good. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but it's the parent of all others. In other words, it's the one, the foundational one that we have to start with. Praise, being thankful, being grateful. Here's another one. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what you have into enough. And then even more, it turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Here's another one. In ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. So you can become rich just by being thankful. Here's another one. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it. And the last one, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Don't you love those? Well, if you're not in the habit of praising God and practicing daily gratitude, perhaps you can try these applications. Create or start a daily gratitude journal. Every day, offer a prayer of thanksgiving. You might even write that down. Acts of service and kindness. When you offer up your time and your energies and your talents to serve others, then you're others focused. You're letting your kindness just pour out of you, and that's going to be something that stimulates your own thankfulness. When you're helping others, you're going to feel really good about that. You can practice being mindful of God and start noticing His presence and show your gratitude as a result of that. When you have your heart and mind set on the things of God and His presence and what He's doing, you can't help but be grateful and thankful. And finally, you can also reflect on Scripture. Find those Scripture passages that encourage you to praise God and to thank Him, and how you're going to feel joyful and content when you do, and focus on those each day. You know, gratitude is like fertilizer for your faith. Just as fertilizer enriches the soil and promotes the growth of healthy plants, gratitude enriches your spiritual soil and nurtures the growth of your faith. When you cultivate a heart of gratitude, your faith flourishes and you become more attuned to God's presence and His provisions in your life. I'd like to help you foster the mindset of gratitude in your life. Please download my 37-page Ultimate Gratitude Guide. This booklet is a ministry favorite. It's been downloaded more than any of the other free offers that I have out there, and it's totally free to you. You're going to love how this comprehensive guide will help you to flex the mindset of gratitude and to help you grow more content and charitable in your own life. Psalm 48 can inspire you to embrace God's presence, trust in His sovereignty, and cultivate a heart of gratitude in your daily life. These practical applications will help you grow spiritually and help you to experience God's peace and provision in such meaningful ways. As we conclude, let me pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this amazing, miraculous day that you've given to every listener tuning into the show today. Help them to reorient their thoughts to your truth, your character traits, and your great love for them. May they be strengthened today by your presence in their life. May they grow to trust you more with each passing moment, and may they express their adoration for you through a heart bent on thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. again, that's a wrap, Brain Changer. And listen, if you like what you hear, would you leave us a 1 to 2 sentence review at Apple Podcasts, share the link with a friend, or tag me on your share on social media? It would mean the world to me and would help us to keep shining the light of Christ and sharing the good news to others who are in need of encouragement. Please visit us on our website at choosetothink.co. That's with the number 2, choosetothink.co, to get on our monthly newsletter list. And if you need a guest speaker for your next women's retreat or church event, I'm your gal. Email me at choosetothink@gmail.com. And that's with the number 2, choosetothink@gmail.com. Finally, I offer limited free mentoring sessions each month where you and I can chat to help you develop a strategy for your thoughts in any area of your life. I'm a certified life coach and I have something to share. Visit choosetothink.co and click on mentoring for more details. Also, keep in mind that the messages on this show are for informational and educational purposes only. Please consult your medical doctor for all medical issues. Thank you again for tuning in. God bless you.